The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Small Things Like These has received its world premiere at the 74th Berlin International Film Festival this year. It got fabulous reviews, fabulous reaction. I know this is the kind of thing that you're not meant to say to the people who are in it because they are meant to be able to ignore the reviews, but it did nonetheless. The people who are leading the cast, Eileen Walsh, Emily Watson and Cillian Murphy, to use his full title, Oscar winner Cillian Murphy, are with us now. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Emily, can I start with you? Because for the guys, for Cillian and for Eileen, I am assuming, as with any Irish person, they grew up with a sort of understanding that developed further in recent years about the Magdalen laundries and all that went on. As somebody who wasn't immersed, what was your reaction when you first got involved in the project? What was your sense of what you were getting involved in?
I think it's... I wasn't raised a Catholic and I'm not Irish, but I think it's a very universally recognisable scenario where, I came out of the film with an urgent sense of never pass by a child who has been taken or appropriated or has had their life some way treated in this way. It's an incredibly powerful thing. I myself grew up in quite a strange, religious situation, and I understood very clearly what that was, not to feel yourself because you were the truth was being owned by someone else.
What was your strange religious situation?
Oh, it's a long story. You can look it up. It's all out there. But I had an instant recognition of what that was, and these very powerful people who have their fingers in people's lives, in every aspect of people's lives, and they control the narrative and hide the truth. And
that's interesting. So you don't. It isn't something that is uniquely Irish, that experience, because I think to some extent we think of it as being a uniquely Irish Catholic legacy.
I think all religions are prone to this syndrome that people gain power and they use it as a place to hide. They use it as a place to, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's a human condition.
What does that mean?
Children are always the, young people are always the victims of that.
For you as an actor, then, I was watching recently Ralph Fiennes talking. Now, I know it is somewhat extreme, but talking about his role as Amon Gath and saying that in preparing himself into the role, no matter what he did, because he was playing the character, he came to like the character to a degree. Is the same true with Sister Mary? Did you find redeeming features in her? Do you have to be able to play her?
I think you have to see that somebody, I didn't like her, but I knew that she had told a big enough lie to herself to make herself feel that what she was doing was in some way sanctioned, blessed. She was doing the work of the Lord in some way, in the most twisted denial I think that's what's very brilliant about Tim, our director, is that he kind of makes you really aware of those things you don't admit to yourself, and he looks at that with a camera. It's a very profound way of working.
I was asking Emily about the overseas view or the non-Irish view of the Magdalen experience. You, of course, have dealt with this topic now twice, because the Magdalen sisters back from, I think, 2002, wasn't it? In that intervening period, did your view and understanding of the Magdalen laundries, the Magdalen system, has it changed?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't changed. It hasn't. If anything, it's kind of deepened our and my understanding of it. And it only pushed me further to kind of research and discover more around that time. Like Nell McCafferty's book, A Woman to Blame, based around the Kerry baby scandal. It's phenomenal what happened, 84 to 85, and the changes that kind of ricocheted through Ireland from then. But, it's it is bigger than Ireland. Everywhere that particularly the church has reigned will become a power struggle. So it's bigger than us and our small island.
And of course, that period is particularly interesting because the absolute iron grip of the church, it's at the first moments where that weakening is beginning and where there's the scales are starting to some extent to fall away from the eyes. It's an interesting period to treat the Magdalen Laundry experience, isn't it?
Yeah. It just takes one person to stand up, doesn't it, and kind of call it out.
And what,
for everybody to be able to agree.
What drew you back to the topic? I mean, obviously it's a beautiful script, so you can see the logic as an actor of wanting to, but I imagine it is a difficult topic to immerse yourself in, no?
I mean, it's difficult because it's so lonely and sad and, you know, it's a kind of a time of poverty and, you know, incredible darkness. But at the same time, it's so relevant to now to explore it further because it kind of keeps reflecting the time, or, you know, of what is needed now. So, yeah, it's thrilling to kind of go back and visit a different area of a similar subject.
You're not only revisiting a subject, you're revisiting a fellow actor, because as I understand it, you and Killian first acted together on stage in Disco Pigs. Has the Oscar changed him radically?
Oh, God, no. Kill is so wonderful and open and brilliant and talented and all.
But the ego has run riot now, hasn't it? It's totally out of control, we assume.
Yeah, well, the ego would always run riot. Listen, no. He hasn't changed at all. It's kind of funny. I think all that history pays off, you know, that kind of knowledge of each other. Because I do feel like I kind of can drive him mad. But I also know how he takes his tea, so it's fine.
Killian, your own experience, obviously I want to talk to you about why you wanted both the producer role and the acting role in this. Before that, though, has the Oscar changed things from your perspective?
I don't think so, honestly.
Is it not all Illuminati parties? You and Brenda Fricker and Neil Jordan in sort of Venetian masks and dark venues. Is that not what happens? Are you not now part of a super set?
I think that's a little more revealing about you than me, Anton. You know, I went straight back to work after it all. I shot a film again with Tim Meelands and with Emily. And so we went straight back to work. So it was a wonderful, crazy time. But, you know, it's not real life and you just go back to work, you know.
But does it have a material impact on the work? I assume you must be inundated with every script that anybody writes now and the phone rings off the hook.
Not really. I mean, I think that if it helps, you know, if it helps get films over the line that I'd like to make, then that's a really positive thing. And there's a certain type of storytelling that I'm interested in. And if that helps get those films financed, then I'll take it, you know.
Well, that brings us to you as producer on Small Things Like These. You're teamed up, as I said, you're teamed up again with Eileen Walsh. You're also teamed up again with Enda Walsh. The reason to want to do this topic and the reason to throw your weight behind it as producer, what drew you to it?
Well, I'm a great admirer of Claire Keegan as a writer. You know, I think she's a tremendous, tremendous talent. And I really wanted to work with Tim Meelands, our director, again. And we were like kind of looking around for material. And then, in fact, it was my wife who suggested that we look at Claire Keegan's material. And miraculously, the book was still available. The rights were still available. And
was it, despite the success of Colleen Kuhn?
Yes. So we just got really lucky. And and then I immediately gave it to Enda because I knew he would be perfect for the adaptation. And then, you know, I just kind of called all my friends, you know, and tried to get them involved. And then it came together really, really quickly. But in terms of why, I think there's a real universality in this sort of specificity of the story, you know. And like, you know, you were mentioning at the beginning, this is it a peculiarly Irish story? I really don't think it is. And I think, you know, we've tested the film in America and people really respond to it, you know, and like, if you look at what happened in Canada, for example, with those indigenous people, and there was, you know, all these unmarked graves, like thousands and thousands of kids died in residential homes in Canada. Like, this is happening all over the world. You know what I mean? And it's not just about the Catholic Church, it's about any form of oppression, really. So it has connected with people kind of in a very profound way, and as I was hoping it might.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.